Ira Kaufman podcast is back. The Sage wearing his Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon gear. I'm Steve Isbitz, a Joe Bucks fan. It's a full house. Lee DeKemper is here. Ira's favorite threesome, well, maybe his second favorite threesome, is back together. We're at One Buck Palace. It's May 1st. We are that much closer to training camp, and a lot is going on. Sage, how are you?
See, you got to start on a leering tone, a quasi-X-rated tone over there with your threesomes over there. I'm trying to do a wholesome podcast. You know, the worst I get revved up, Lee, is when I say freaking. And when I told my wife I'd go to freaking, she goes, "You don't talk like that." I said, "I do for Joe Bucks, man." We're a week out from that party. It was a hell of a party. The Kemper, you don't know anything about it.
Never mind.
Whoa. You can't interrupt me during my opening
speech. When you're telling me I'm...
his podcast.
I'm telling you, you're saying I'm X-rated?
Well,
there's no there's no partial X-rated. There's either X-rated or not.
Lee,
come on.
We don't do X-rated for Ed Morris Cadillac.
His first reference is to a threesome, Lee. Well, what am I supposed to do? Let that lay, so to speak?
That could mean three Diet Cokes in the refrigerator.
Well, but not when this nut job says it. We know what it means.
Get your head out of the gutter.
Anyway, I'm a week removed from the party. Lee, you missed a hell of a party.
Yeah.
Everybody was asking about you.
Uh-oh.
Especially after
Cops
the pick of Devin White. We're going to get to that later in the podcast, Steve. But, you know, we just had all the Buck assistant coaches. And when I say all, Lee, I mean all.
Well, defensive.
Oh, yeah. And it's a long list. You know,
even the guys with the weightlifters.
I didn't see the swing specialist yet, the kicking swing specialist. Didn't see that. Didn't see the referee yet that's in the building. Roger Kingdom may or may not come to the podium. They paraded a lot of people through One Buck Place on Wednesday. I'll tell you that.
Well, I appreciate the Bucks doing that. That was great. And, man, you said you're worked up. That is no joke, Ira. I swear you're on like your fifth cup of coffee. I mean, you're worked up. You're outraged because you've been usurped. Or no. Usurped by ESPN. You're appalled that too many questions are being asked.
Well,
then you were talking about some NBA player and you were freaking out.
And then you got the Bill Barr testimony today. I'm fired up, man. Yeah, I'm a walking cauldron over here.
Yeah, when you,
it's your job to calm me down over there.
When you said you needed a cup of coffee, like, whoa, you've had enough.
Well, Fred Goodall's supposed to have gone out to Panera Bread and got me another coffee, and according to you, DeKemper, that's going to be my seventh cup of coffee, because something's got to explain this. I'm on edge.
I haven't seen you like this in a long time.
I'm on edge. I don't know if I just looked at the Buck draft pick list again. I don't know what I don't know what the heck set me off, Stevie.
Kickers?
Oh, we'll talk about kickers. All right, Ira, look. Couple of things, got to let everybody know. Your podcast is available, iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, right at Joe Bucks Fan, other platforms as well. Subscribe where you can. You get a free alert. It's just that simple.
Where am I standing in the top 50, Stevie? Where am I?
You were not there as of Wednesday morning. You were not there on the outskirts of the Google Play All Genres Top 50, but I think you might be back soon.
I've been popping in and out, Lee. I'm lurking.
Did you lose money on the Lakers last night? Man, you're wound up.
I mean, I should be buoyant. The Sixers won game two against Toronto. You know, the Giants beat the Dodgers the other night. That's a freak occurrence. That ain't going to happen very often. Steve, as this podcast goes on, I will calm down a little bit.
Ira, don't calm down. Don't even think of it. Now, if you go to edmorriscadillactampa.com right now, Ira, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see a nice, pretty graphic that says hashtag winning. That's because Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, number one volume Cadillac dealer in Florida. They've got that award under their belt. 2019 Consumer Satisfaction Award, 2019 Dealer of the Year. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Of course, we all know General Manager Brian Danahy and all the great work they do there. The new offers for May are rolling out as we record this. It's May 1st, and that means they are also at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Right there, Causeway Boulevard, so easy to get to. General Manager Hector LeBron, Ed Morris, CadillacBrandon.com. Just, you'll see all the great, fantastic offers. You can shop pre-owned.
By the way, at the party last week, I had another guy come up to me and say, said he shopped at Ed Morris Cadillac. And bought a new Cadillac because of our podcast and website. I thought that was fantastic.
That's outstanding to hear, Ira.
It is outstanding.
What's not outstanding is, Ira, you got to get that guy's name and number so I can tell him.
What do you want,
him.
A social security number too, Isbitz? Well, I had Josh Allen on my mind that night. I can't be asking people for private information.
Well, you know what? If that guy is listening or those guys are listening, let us know at Joe Bucks Fan. Let us know. And what we'll do is we'll get you an Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon hat autographed by Ira, and we'll send it out to you. How about that?
And we could celebrate.
Nicely done.
We could celebrate his sale, his purchase, I should say.
And, of course, Ira at Ed Morris Cadillac, Brandon, the 2018 clearance. They are clearing them faster than ever. All the 2018 models remaining are on clearance up to $11,000 off. So we love that. I know you love a good deal, except when it's on your check and you're like, ah, shouldn't there be another $63 in here, Isbits? All right. Now,
may I start the podcast, Stephen? May I?
I thought we started 6 minutes ago, but go ahead.
All right. I'm going to go right to football over here, and I'm looking right at the Kemper for this one because it's a beauty. Lee, Westgate, your favorite sports book. Westgate, and it's a big one.
Yeah, it's big. I've been there.
You've been there.
Yeah.
You know, with about 412 TV screens, right?
It's really impressive.
Really impressive. And you fit in, you know, you grab one of those nice cushy seats, and you don't move for 4 hours.
Well, that's usually me at Aria or some other – but I've been there. I haven't been there to watch a game, but I've been there, and it's really impressive.
All right, so my point for the three of us, and, you know, we're just going to take a couple of minutes, but it's an overarching story. They have set post-draft – and obviously post-free agent. This is basically the roster, you know, for the most part. There's going to be some changes because I don't want to throw this out there too much, but looking at this roster, there better be some changes before opening day. That's all. I'll leave it at that. But you get my point, Lee. It's post-draft.
Yeah.
And post-draft, the Bucks have been pegged at 6.5 wins.
That many?
6.5. I'll start it off. If I had to vote today, I think I'm going under.
Yeah.
I don't like to say it.
I don't
like to say it. I take no joy in saying it. Prove me wrong. Rightly, prove me wrong.
Word for word, I agree with you. I don't want to say it. I don't like saying it. I hate saying it. I got to say what I think. I got to say what I believe. I can't con people. I can't go to bed at night and put my head on the pillow being some fraud. If I had to put money down, I'd put on the under. I just like you. I hate to say it, and I hope I'm dead wrong. And we're not the only ones, Ira. Since you bring this subject up, I'm not a big deal in power rankings. That's worse than mock drafts. But Elliot Harrison, NFL Network, did
Elliot Harrison's not a bad guy. He knows his stuff.
Okay, I don't know him that well.
I think he's okay.
Okay, well, he had a post-draft. He dropped the Bucks.
Did he put him to 29th?
Yeah, 29th, I think, which is bad. That's third worst. And CBS Sports HQ with your friend Prickly Pete Prisco and Jamie Eisenberg predicted the Bucks last place again, Buccaneers Cove. And this is post-draft. I wrote this on JoeBucksFan.com. Can a team, and unfortunately I believe this, I don't want to, but I got to be honest. Can a team get worse with a draft? And it sure smells like that. The team got worse, not better.
Look, we don't want to be Debbie Downers on here, and maybe you take a different tact here, but I'll tell you what, it's a heck of an opportunity for a new coaching staff to turn this franchise around and make a lot of people look bad.
6.5, Iris. You know what? I'm going to say right now, if I had to bet, I would jump on the over. And
Mr. Contrarian here.
Well, no, that doesn't mean I think that they – if somebody said, what do you think? I'd say right now, I think you're looking at a 7-win team only because of two things. One – they should score more points than they did last year.
Ooh.
They should. They've got better coaching, most likely. And
they lost their slot receiver, who was a good football player.
I understand that, Ira, but they still have many more red zone targets than most teams. And you can't get much worse than Ronald Jones was last year. He should be on the rise. Peyton Barber. I just think the offensive coaching changes here. And the rise of Jameis, they'll get more out of Jameis. Maybe not enough, but a little bit. I think they're going to score more points. And when you score 25, 26 points a game, it's awfully hard to lose a lot of games. And the defense can't get any worse. Could it really get any worse?
May I offer a quick rebuttal?
So, it cannot get worse.
Let me throw out a quick.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you. It can't get worse.
It could be stationary.
Quick rebuttal to Mr. DeCamper.
So I see him as 7 wins right now if I had to put the money down.
All right.
And hopefully I'll see more and I'll go up.
Look, Steve, you made some good points. I think they'll be better coached. But, Lee, I'll throw this out at them. And Buck fans have to realize this. I think it's totally gone under the weather here is the offensive line was basically intact in 2018. It was quite remarkable when you look at it. You look around the league, I don't think any other team could come remotely close to the Bucs in terms of the durability of the starting five up front. Now, last year. We're not weighing in on how good these guys are, but durability and cohesiveness, Lee, that's a big part of the offensive line. is the cohesiveness. Lee, that's very unlikely to happen again. Their depth or lack of depth up front, I think, has a good chance to be exposed this fall.
Oh, yeah. Generally, when your offensive line is intact like it was, that's a very good sign. And the Bucs were horrible.
They couldn't run the ball.
It was,
Steve, you want to react to that?
Sure.
It's very unlikely that'll happen again.
Hey, you think the Bucs can be as good as last year's Redskins? They won 7 games with a decimated O-line, with quarterback issues.
The Redskins were a good team for about 6-7 weeks before Alex Smith went down.
Not just that. They had Bill Callahan as offensive line coach.
One of the better ones.
One of the best offensive line coaches out there. He, against the Bucs, they literally pulled guys off the street. Literally pulled guys off the street that week. They had so many injuries, and look what they did against the Bucs. And I can't think of his name right now. I'm sorry. I don't have everybody's name memorized like this. But the Bucs offensive line coach, you look at his resume, and you want to run screaming down the street. It scares you so
much. Joe Gilbert.
Scary resume. Scary bad. Not scary good. Scary bad. I have zero expectations from him. Bruce Arians, he plucked him from Indianapolis. Mind you, before he was with the Bucs, he was at Indianapolis, and the whole organization got run because their offensive line was horrible and nearly got Andrew Luck killed, nearly ruined his career. And now he's supposed to help the Bucs out? Really?
I'm just saying, Sage, a lot of teams have O-line issues. A lot of teams across the league have O-line depth issues. You know, hopefully this coaching staff's a little bit...
All right, I want to make one more quick point before we get to some of the things that Steve wants to talk about. And this is going to be one rollicking podcast. But I want to throw this out, too, because this actually happened. I'm not making this up. I think it was the day of the first round. I think it was last Thursday.
You had a cinnamon
and it was
rice.
About 1 o'clock. I'm watching NFL Live. I want to get the latest information.
Before you had shots.
And so I'm watching before I start heading out to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Cinnamon raisin.
Lee, you're killing me, Lee. And I swear I'm watching this. I swear. You know, I go to the guide, and under NFL, you know, Live, it says a preview of the first round, predictions for the first round. Okay, you know, I want to get the latest information. I swear. They started. They go to number 2. Here comes the 49ers. They're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And here comes the Jets. And here comes the Raiders. And they're spending 5 minutes on each thing. Now it's 1:25. You know, I got my wife. Hey, they're going to weigh in on the Bucks over here. They skipped right to the Giants. I'm not making it up. They skipped right to the Giants. Now, why do I tell that story? Why? Because, Lee, you know this as well as I do. The Bucs are a blip on the freaking radar.
That's true.
Of NFL Nation.
That's true.
That is an example. Now, look, they're always going to cater to New York. I understand that. But you can't skip over the number 5 pick in the draft like they don't exist.
They do. They being ESPN. They will. They do.
This franchise is not relevant right now on a national scale. When are they going to get back to it? When?
Playoffs. That's simple. Playoffs. That's the only reason why Tennessee is a blip on the radar, but a minor blip. Playoffs. It must have been 6 years ago. Deadspin did, or somebody did, but Deadspin highlighted it. And I'm not a Deadspin fan in any way, so for me to give them props on a story is significant. Somebody did a story using social media, using advertising, using TV ratings, using newspapers. I mean, there was like 7 or 8 different criteria they used to determine who are the most popular teams in the NFL. Jaguars were worst, and I can't remember either the Bucs were second or third worst. I want to say they're third worst.
Maybe the Browns were at the bottom.
Browns have a pretty significant fan base. They really do. I mean, they sell out a stadium, and how awful were they? The Bucs were either second or third worst. I want to say third worst. The Jaguars were the worst as far as popularity among fan bases. So, you know, ESPN's not going to spend any time on a team that has limited popularity. And, of course, there's only one real high-profile player. Now, Bucs fans scream bloody murder at me for saying this. There's only one high-profile player the Bucs have. One. That's James.
The Browns are generating a ton of buzz in the offseason. That may or may not translate this fall, you know, to 9 or 10 wins. We'll see. But there's a lot of stuff going on with the Cleveland Browns, Steve. Right now, for a team that hasn't been in the playoffs like 15 years, boy, I'm telling you, I think they might be favored to win their division. Favored.
Sage, maybe. You know how this goes. You just got to win. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick was all over the national media after week 2.
Yeah.
All over the place. A lot of hype going into the
week. Fitzmagic.
Lot of hype going into the week 3 Pittsburgh game. So, you know, the Bucs win that game, everything might look a lot different, but they lost. You just got to win and sustain it and be relevant. All right, Ari, let me take you back to $1 today. Todd Bowles and the rest of his assistants spent 5.7 hours asking all the questions. So many assistants, Ira. I'm exaggerating, but gosh. Anyway, Todd Bowles, very well schooled in the New York media, talks a lot, doesn't say much, and he didn't say much today. But what he did say when asked if he wants Gerald McCoy on his roster, not will he be here, all this other stuff, would he like him on the roster? Bowles says that's above my pay grade. Your reaction?
Well, it was a theme that ran through all those defensive coaches. I think I was the one that first brought up the McCoy question to Todd Bowles. I thought it would be one of the first questions. It wasn't. When it wasn't answered 10 minutes in, I decided I got to weigh in.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about Gerald McCoy, Lee. Nobody wants to talk about him. And their way of answering is either it's above their pay grade or I coach the guys that are here. Lee, I thought it was very telling that Bowles has not spoken to McCoy in recent times, has not spoken to him. They got to get this cleared up, Lee. Either you want this guy on your team or you don't. I mean, you know, they're planning on, you know, alignments and way to use personnel. And if McCoy's here, he's going to be a big part of it. If he's here, they got to get this cleaned up, Lee. And I got a feeling it's going to be cleaned up shortly.
Dominic has gone on record. Mark Dominic, former Bucks Rockstar general manager. He's gone on record right before the draft. He says, this smells like Gerald McCoy's coming back. He goes, I just believe he's coming back. Chris Sims, former quarterback, he gave his spleen to this team on Florio's show. He co-hosts Florio's show. He said yesterday morning, hey, I just can't believe they're going to let McCoy go.
And somebody told me yesterday that's been involved with this organization and said, I think McCoy's going to be on this team.
Given that information, do you think this is just some kind of weird, bizarre, choreographed effort to light a fire under McCoy? Like, if he's brought back, he goes, I'll show these SOBs, those blankety-blanks treat me like this, they claim I can't play a three-man front, I'll show the MFers, blah, blah, blah.
Well, if that's the case, Lee, it's a tactic that could backfire, because you could also lose the guy mentally. And if I'm McCoy, I'm thinking, hey, I got a coach who says I'm not the player I was 4 years ago. I think I'm in my prime. I mean, that's Gerald McCoy thinking. You got to think that way as a player. I'm not 38 years old, and I think I'm hitting my prime. And this guy says my prime's in the rearview mirror 4 years ago. And we talked about Arians when he said that. I was a little taken aback. Lee, I'm not saying he's gone, but they sure have a funny way of saying he's wanted. If that's the case.
Well, here's what the weird thing is. All this, I'm not going to call it negative, but the slant is negative. It's not positive. That's doing nothing for his trade value. Absolutely nothing. Are the Bucks that, naive isn't the word, stupid isn't the word, are ballsy to blow up the guy's trade value? And for what reason, I don't know, because he's been nothing but a good soldier here. It just something doesn't add up.
Steve,
here.
I haven't heard anything from the Bucks saying that the report from the Canton newspaper regarding McCoy's availability. I haven't heard anything that says that's a false report. Nothing could be further than from the truth. If you had a guy that you really knew was going to be on your roster heading into training camp, you'd shoot down that report, Steve, I would think.
Yeah, we at Joe Bucks Fan, we've written it three different ways, that report out of Ohio, and nobody's texted me to say, hey, it's a bunch of crap, leave it alone, or here's why it's a bunch of crap. I don't think Lee's gotten that text either.
And oh, by the way, the same day that we started running stories about that report, I was getting texts from certain people in this building about different stories. So it's not like they haven't communicated with
us. Steve, all we get now is McCoy's on the roster. McCoy's on the roster. Okay, we can read that. We can read that.
Yeah, as far as the plan or the grand plan or what, whether they're trying to motivate him or they're trying to get him to renegotiate or they're trying to scare him into thinking that they might keep him all the way through training camp and then make him a salary cap cut late in case Vita Vea doesn't get hurt, I don't know. It's odd because such a simple question to Todd Bowles, where to me it's very simple to say every team in the NFL would love to have Gerald McCoy. That's the only answer he has
to give.
He's
a heck of a player.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want him? That
right,
kind of thing. Yeah.
That helps his trade value. That
makes him feel better.
Makes everybody feel good. And frankly, it's an honest answer. Now, not everybody would want to pay Gerald McCoy $13 million or $10 million or $8 million.
Understood.
But every team, he's not the worst defensive tackle on every team in this league. So I don't know why they're not going there. It's odd. Maybe we'll get an answer one day, but I doubt it.
Todd Bowles wouldn't even say if he wanted the former Pro Bowler as a backup. Think about that. Wouldn't even go that far.
And hasn't spoken to him. That kind of, I can't get over that one.
Well, I asked him, does he have a playbook? Are you monitoring whether he's watching film?
Right.
All that stuff. He's like, I didn't want to go there.
Yeah. Bowles, very clipped answers, Lee. Very clipped.
No wonder New York media didn't like
him. You know, he knows what Arians wants to hear and read from these transcripts. He's smart. But at the same time, Steve, I'm going to throw a feather Bowles' way because it's something, guys, that came through all the assistants that followed in the wake of Bowles at the podium. And I think it's important. If it's true, what's the message? Bowles will put our guys in the best position to succeed.
What are they going to say? We're going to make sure that people get 20-yard runs?
But Lee, that's got to crawl under your skin because you don't think that the former regime did that.
No, but
you've
I
been very consistent about that.
Oh, yeah, but I don't expect any coaching staff, no matter how incompetent they may be, like, yeah, we want to make sure guys complete 15-yard passes on us.
But they say Bowles has a reputation of doing that. He has a track record
of
putting players in position to succeed.
I'll let Steve talk about that. He still monitors the Jets from time to time. I just know that I've talked to New York media, and I consistently get the following. Don't look at Todd Bowles' results as an indictment on him. He was given rotten players to work with. I don't know about that, but I'll let Steve talk with a little more authority on that.
Well, Casey Rogers, who the Bucs defensive line coach, another guy we met today, he was the Jets defensive coordinator last year under Bowles, and he was there for years as Bowles' defensive coordinator. I thought it was very interesting to hear Rogers today say Bowles was very heavy-handed in the defense, and he went out of his way to say that, and that was going to be one of my questions. Somebody beat me to it as to, you know, your role, Mr. Rogers, in the defense last year and maybe how it's different. And I think you asked.
And you heard me ask Bowles whether he's going to be more involved.
And he said about twice as involved with the defense. But, you know, you might have thought he would have said 5 times, 10 times more. He had a heavy hand in a garbage defense last year. The Jets allowed 30 points a game over the last 10 games. That's not a coincidence. It's not a joke. That's his defense.
And there was some talent on that defense.
Sure.
To the line, they had talent.
Yeah, there was talent. It didn't work. That all-pro safety didn't work. So what I thought, we all have to wait and see. But, yeah, that was a theme, Ira, that Bowles focuses on that so heavily, putting guys where they can succeed, which I'll say at least it's a – I agree with Lee that, hey, what coach doesn't say that? But you know what? Coach my scheme, Lovey, he didn't say that kind of thing. Dirk Cutter was just Mike Smith was just all about,
this is the way we're going to play.
His off coverage and his, and even Bruce Arians, when I asked him about Mike Smith at the owners meetings, he sort of said, well, Mike Smith's did his off coverage thing for a lot of years. And, you know, the coaches have their ways. It seems like Bowles is more flexible than most.
That, I think that's the key word, Lee. Flexibility. I think that is the big word with Bowles. Lee, did it jar you a little bit out of your seat?
Jar.
And for something to knock you out of your seat, it takes a hell of a wallop.
Well, I'll tell you what knocked out of my seat later.
Hold on, Lee. But tell me if I'm wrong here. I think I asked a question about press coverage with Hargraves and Davis and how much they're going to enjoy it and this and that and whether they'll succeed at it. Didn't Bowles say, wait a minute. We're going to play back. We're going to play press. We're going to mix it up. I thought this was an aggressive press coverage scheme, Lee. Am I reading too much into this?
If you
say Hargraves 9 yards back, you will be screaming from the press box to Kemper.
Well, I won't be screaming as much as what some people think, but could it possibly be that some teams don't fare well in a zone, and so Bowles will have them play in a zone? I think that's fair to suggest. The biggest feedback for that.
Takeaway,
there we go. Seriously, no, I've never met anyone with a better vocabulary than yours.
You
pull out these words every once in a while, I have to run to a dictionary. At any rate, the linebackers coach, Mike Caldwell, I definitely had Lovie Smith on the brain when I asked him this. You know, he's talking about, you got to force turnovers, takeaways, turnovers. And that's always a pet peeve of mine. I said, Coach, is there a fine line between sloppy tackling because you're so focused on turnovers, And he basically said, you got to tackle first.
And
you
have to. The second guy comes in.
Yeah.
Boom.
And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Tackle first. Turnover later. Thank you.
And Lee, the other part of that, swarming to the ball was a big, big thing for Kiffin all those years. Swarm, swarm, swarm. No loaf. Swarm, swarm, swarm. We haven't seen a lot of that.
No.
It's been a big part of the problem around here on the defensive side is one juke and the guy gets past the first guy and then you see a lot of open field. Where's the swarm? Bring back the swarm.
Well, that's what I'm hoping to see. You know, Larry Foote, former Steelers linebacker. He's coaching linebackers with the Bucks now. And I never forget this. It was a Monday night game. John Madden was calling it. I can't remember the Steelers and the Bucks. I want to say it was the Bucks. And he started talking about Monty Kiffin, and he invoked Dick LeBeau. He said, there's two defensive coaches that you know when you watch them, you know you're going to get tackling, and you know you're going to get gang tackling. He goes, Monty Kiffin and Dick LeBeau. He said, they're by far the best. He goes, they're the two best coaches as far as tackling goes. And I hope Larry Foote, that rubs off on him, and thus rubs off on the rest of the defense. Exactly what you're talking about. Swarming to the ball and good tackling.
And Lee, you know what helps in that regard, Stevie? Speed.
And yes.
Defensive speed has been upgraded on this football team.
Yeah, in a big way. And if the coach is downplayed, Bowles downplayed a desire for more speed, they're just, you know, picking off the draft board, you know, kind of thing.
By the way, Mike Caldwell, I love what he said. Wrap up as far as tackling.
Wrap up, baby.
Wrap up. Thank well, yeah, music to my music to my ears.
Yeah, the way he phrased it was nice. Tackle first. The second guy is the one who rips the ball out, which wasn't the Lovie Smith way.
That's because there wasn't a second guy.
The Lovie Smith way was drag Mike Jenkins 7 yards for a first down and move the chains.
We're going to get to back to the draft and Devin White, but wanted to throw one thing out at you, Ira, because it was so shocking on two levels. One, so
and you're not easily shocked, Steve. You're not.
Well, I mean, we're Bucks fans. We're shocked and stunned by all these weird things that always happen. It's just the way of the world.
The way of the Bucks.
So. The coaches largely were rather boring, Ira, until safeties coach Nick Rapone walks up to the podium. Now, this guy is beautiful, beautiful. Right out of a gangster movie, it was his appearance.
Instant soundbite, beautiful.
Instant soundbite. He just kept rolling and rolling, and he probably will never be heard from again because of all the stuff he revealed. I even had
he's 62. He's got a wealth of knowledge, man, and he doesn't mind imparting it.
Somebody from the Bucks joked to us afterwards saying I didn't realize we injected him with truth serum once he before we put him out there. But
shouldn't everybody be like that guy?
Yes, they should.
On our side of the fence, damn right. On their side of the fence, hell no.
Yeah, because, you know, tight-lipped coaches is what's win games.
We haven't
NFL.
Seen this since Todd Monken, gentlemen. Todd Monken.
And we know he wasn't popular with the media relations staff.
You're right.
Because
they put the muzzle on him.
Yeah.
They put the muzzle
on him. They
muzzled
him. Shut down. Yeah, that's chapter 11 in the book.
That's
well,
right.
I think
that's
I could say this. One time I was talking to Todd away from one buck, and he told me something I never have written before, and I probably never will. Because
is that when you stalked him at a high school game at the Kemper?
Yeah. And you know, to me, it's sacrosanct. Off the record's off the record. And he's telling me something that was rather flammable, very flammable. And I said, hey, Todd, this is off the record. He goes, I don't give up. And you fill in the blank.
All right. So Rapone gets up there. And he talks, at first he talks about the rookie safety, the late third round pick.
What's this guy's name, Steve? Steve, you're fascinated by this guy, Rapone. Can't you just see a sign hanging up on a shingle? Rapone's Pizza, you know, two slices and a soda, $4.95. I mean, it's beautiful.
What was the sandwich shop that fronted the Sopranos?
Satrialis, I believe.
Yeah.
Ira, all these stereotypes. Come on.
I understand.
All right. So he gets up there and he's talking about this. Rookie, Edwards, late third-round pick, basically says that he's everything that they want in a safety. They believe he's cerebral.
Boy, did he check off the boxes, Steve.
He painted that guy as if they looking to him to be a starter. Did you get that vibe?
Well, you could not get that vibe. Now, you know, Mr. Whitehead might have something to say. I assume Evans is going to be a starting safety. If Jason Light's got anything to say about it.
I hope, and I don't know that he does. I hope they're not going to start a guy just because of where he was drafted. Shouldn't you earn it?
Boy, they're asking a lot out of these safeties. And asking a lot out of the nickel corner, who's going to play 70% of the time and supposed to be a blitzer.
They're asking a hell of a lot from a bunch of rookies.
Yeah.
Ira, so I thought that was very interesting. I asked him if he had anybody else in that mold of the rookie out of Kentucky. And he said Justin Evans, well, he's great in the classroom so far because he's hurt. He's not on the field, but, you know, yeah, he just sort of left it at that. But here's the thing.
Hold on. No, you're not going any further getting that past me. Is it ominous that Justin Evans hasn't recovered from a toe injury? Is it a little
that
ominous?
Could be, but I've got nothing. I like Justin Evans a lot. He's never turned me down for interview questions. Never, ever. And he has thoughtful answers. I like him a lot. I want him to succeed.
Neither has Annie Sabo turned you down for an interview.
But
that doesn't mean she can wrap up and punch the ball out of a ball carrier.
And you're mocking him for going blue.
I am.
And she's appalled that you would say she doesn't turn me down for anything.
She loves this podcast. Now, what point were you trying to make over here about Justin Evans?
You know, everybody listening is in a ditch right now. They just is running to a ditch.
You may continue, in the words of Mad Dog
Russo. You've got me flustered now.
No, you were talking about Justin Evans and the safety position. They are asking a lot.
And I don't think he's going out with Annie Sabo.
This is a very young secondary, Lee. Very, very young. They don't have a mentor.
That's a pet peeve of mine. Isn't that what a coach is supposed to be? You know, people go, oh, this guy's a mentor. This guy. I just want to cuss. No, that's what a coach is for. If you got to have someone babysit you, get the hell out of the league.
But, Steve, your relationships with your teammates are not the same as your relationships with your coaches.
That's a whole different animal than men.
I understand.
That drives me nuts.
And we're going to hear a lot of that, though, because Arians is very big on mentors and leaders in each room and assigning top guys to run the show.
Well, then these quote-unquote leaders, and again, I invoked the quote from Jack Ham, it's rhetoric, then these leaders ought to be thrown off the team if their comrades, their brethren, their little brothers are doing lousy. If a coach is responsible and you're going to put that responsibility on a player, he's a player, he's not a coach, then the same thing ought to happen.
You're a betting man, Steve. You're a betting man. Who's going to emerge in the defensive backs room as sort of the leader? Who would you put money on?
Dan Cilio.
It's too early. Too early for that. But, Ira, let me keep you on point here to answer your question. Yes, May 1st. Justin Evans isn't cleared to practice from a toe that it messed him up in November. A toe? That's
now, toe injuries, you know, are not to be underestimated.
Well, didn't it pretty much throw water on the gas of Deion Sanders' career?
But, Steve, I make the point.
It's concerning.
He's Carl Nix. He's not ready.
Carl Nix.
Doesn't mean he won't play 16 games this year, but it is concerning to have that big of a toe injury where you can't run around in shorts to be cleared for that.
Steve, speaking of DBs, What'd you guys get out of this dissertation, sort of, on M.J. Stewart? Does M.J. Stewart have the inside track?
Let me read it for the folks who didn't see it. There's a lot been coming out on our site.
M.J. Stewart must be wondering, what the heck's going on? Where do I fit in over here?
I wanted to know what the heck's going on with M.J. Stewart.
So, at the Combine, Jason Light said that M.J. Stewart was a safety. That's what he said at the Combine podium.
Right to my face.
Drafted
as a corner. Their first second-round pick of last year. Okay, so we're going with that. Now, Mr. Rapone gets up there, and I'm going to read you the quotes here because they're so shocking. We don't always read quotes here, but these were shocking. I typed them up myself. I had to hear them a couple of times. Verbatim. All right, here we go. We're going to attempt to put MJ Stewart at nickel position and then play him some free safety. MJ's never played safety, so it's going to be a learning process. Okay, we get it. I'm going to try him out at nickel, but remember, the coaches here have said they don't have a nickel. So right now, MJ Stewart's a nickel, and I believe Bowles said that too. Right now, he's at nickel, and we'll go from there. Well, Mr. Rapone expanded, and this is a shocker, and this ties to Devin White, who we're going to get to next. Rapone says, quote, "In our system, the number one person that blitzes is the nickel. He is a physical player. He was a rookie," referring to Stewart. "There is a learning curve. Our nickels have to blitz. Our nickels have to play man-to-man. He has the innate skills to play man-to-man. He's physical enough to blitz. So we're basing on what he can do based on what we saw." Then Stewart was asked, well, does he have the speed, the quick twitch? Rapone was asked, does Stewart have the speed, the quick twitch to do this?
And then not as a corner.
Rapone got candid, which is why we're not going to see him again. I'm treasuring this day, Ira. He says, does he have the speed was the question. Quote, "enough of it at the nickel, not at cornerback, but at the nickel." Because remember, the nickel a lot of times is the guy that's protected, meaning other players are around.
And the outside guy's a guy on an island.
Right. And you can always double with the nickel, but that nickel also has to play run support. Stewart's a very good special teams player. He's a physical kid. And the nickel and air scheme has to be physical, not finesse. Continuing the quote, like the honey badger, everybody talks about him. He was physical. He would throw his body around. We are looking at MJ as the same type of player. Ira, what's going on here? What do you make of that?
Well, maybe they're seeing stuff I didn't see. I don't know what kind of film they've been looking at over there, Lee, but I didn't see.
They're looking at the film that we can't talk about on this.
I didn't see enough out of MJ Stewart to make a statement where the guy can play man-to-man coverage, Lee. I didn't see what he did to justify that statement.
If that's true, I don't know if it's true or not, but if that's true, innate, the quote, the word, innate.
That's one of my words.
Innate ability to play man-to-man. Get those lunkheads last year, had him in a zone. What more do you need to say?
Well, he's saying he could play man at nickel because he said he can't play outside. He's not fast enough.
Right.
The whole thing doesn't make any sense, Ira. You just drafted two speed corners, and now you're looking at MJ.
I don't think Stewart's going to win the nickel job, Lee. I don't think he's going to win it. We'll see. We'll see what happens, but I don't think he's going to win it. I'm not sure he's got that kind of skill set, Lee. They're asking that player to be extremely versatile. Extremely versatile.
Well, you know, last year they acted like Vernon Hargraves could have made the Pro Bowl the way he was a nickel corner, and all of a sudden he gets hurt right away. So
now we've got so much material that we can hit on multiple podcasts coming up this month.
We know what Buck fans have been waiting for on this podcast.
Exactly, we do. Now, I do not believe that Rapone is lying, okay? He spent 5 years in the NFL. Previously, he was a college coach. All 5 years under Arians, and he was there with Bowles. So this is an Arians guy, a Bowles guy. He goes back to Temple. You know, as he told everybody, I'm 62 years old. These are all kids and all that stuff. So Rapone told us, and I don't think this is a misinterpretation, the nickel is our top blitzer. So we just drafted Devin White 5 overall. Now, I understand that we might be sending two guys quite a bit, but if the nickel's the top blitzer, I don't know if things are going to change, Ira, after they get a look at Devin White, but the Devin White pick, let's reflect back on it a little bit. Lee's here. We all want to know what Lee felt in the moment of the pick, the aftermath. We get that Lee likes Devin White. It's hard not to like him as a person, and he seems like he'll be a good football player. But, Lee, you have the floor.
Oh, boy.
Where was your mind on draft night and the next day and 2 days later, your draft reactions? Everyone's waiting to hear.
Well, I have nothing against Devin White in any way, shape, or form. In fact, when Light said, he's raving about his personality, I'm like, you drafted a guy for personality at number 5. Are you serious? But Light was dead on. The first time I met him, he reminded me in a good way. I emphasize good way. He reminded me in a good way. Warren Sapp. And there were a lot of readers on Twitter, he reminded me of Derek Brooks. He didn't sound anything like Derek Brooks. Not even a word like Derek Brooks. He reminded me of Sapp because he's a motor mouth. You ask him a question, he takes 5 minutes to answer. That's Sapp in a good way. When Sapp was in a good mood, you ask him a question, man, he rolled. He rolled, and the enthusiasm just jumped off his chest. That's what reminded me of Sapp. Brooks has never been that way. Brooks is reserved. He speaks with a measured tone, doesn't get excited. That it didn't remind me of Brooks. The only thing that reminded me of Brooks was he's a nice guy. That had nothing to do with the way he talked. He's a nice guy. Brooks is a nice guy. Everything else reminded me of
What was your visceral reaction when you heard Devin White?
I thought the draft couldn't have played out any better for the Bucks. Allen, Ed Oliver are sitting there.
The quarterback goes number one. And then the Raiders make that crazy.
Anyway.
And the Raiders pick.
Chucky went
Raiders
Chucky.
Do what the Raiders do.
Yeah, Chucky. And I'm like, this could not have been, the table couldn't have been set any neater for the Bucks.
And you would have been okay with Oliver at that point.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm standing next to Cummings. Cummings is sitting on Roy Cummings. Yeah, he was shocked when I said this. As soon as I heard the word Devin, I said, they blew it.
You didn't waste any time.
They blew it. They blew it. I have no doubt Devin White's going to be a good player. He may be in Canton, and I hope he is. I cannot ever remember the Bucks, maybe for 20-some years, the stars were aligned. They had a chance to pick a pass rusher. I mean, everything aligned for them. Everything was set up for them. This happens once every 20 years, maybe. And they blew it because they had their mind made up before the freaking draft started. I got a problem with that. I have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Devin White at all. I hope he winds up in Canton. I have a problem with you already decided who you're going to pick come hell or high water before the draft. Now, what's kind of funny about that, in a way, Chucky told Devin White the exact same thing that Arians told him. And, of course, Chucky being Chucky was full of it. Arians was true to his word. And you could tell to this, you could tell White, he'll run through a wall for Arians because Chucky lied to him. Arians kept his word.
Steve, may I ask our esteemed colleague the million-dollar question? Steve, may I?
Please.
Lee, what if the Bucks, from the scouting department all the way up to Arians and Bowles and Light, all had a significantly higher grade on Devin White than anybody else that was still available on the draft board? What if that's the case? Shouldn't they have taken Devin White?
No. Jason Light had a high grade on Roberto Aguayo. That's why he traded up in the second round to get him. Was that smart?
But, I mean, as a draft prospect, if he had White at 6.8
the only way
and
this...
Allen at 6.1, can you knock the Bucks for taking White?
Yes, I can knock the Bucks for that. There isn't a linebacker, a middle linebacker alive, an inside linebacker alive that can make a difference like a pass rusher.
Didn't they have a need for a linebacker, Lee?
They had a bigger need for pass rush because you
Lee, let it rip.
Jiminy Christmas. And by the way, I listened to your podcast. You yourself said they should have got a pass rusher. So don't you're trying to set me up here. Don't con me.
All things being equal.
Okay, the only way don't get me going. The only way they're gonna be able to get a pass rusher of these guys' talents, they're gonna have to trade 2 first-round picks, or they're gonna have to spend $20 million in free agency. That's the only way. It was there for the taking. Gilbrand, does Gilbrand know how to build a team?
He's in the Hall of Fame.
You damn right. He has said, his own words this week, 3 most important players on a football team. Number 1, pass rusher. Number 2, quarterback. Number 3, left tackle.
He's got a pass rusher over a quarterback?
Yes.
I might take my vote
Lewis Riddick. Lewis Riddick.
I want Brent's bust out of Canton after that.
Lewis Riddick. You know his resume. He said the way NFL offenses are now, and you always talk about this, and the way they throw flags right and left on cornerbacks, the only way to stop a team is get to the quarterback.
Lee, I can't argue with anything you say, but Steve.
Well, there you go.
Steve, I'm going back to the same point. I'm going to say it again. What if they didn't look at Josh Allen and Oliver the way you do? What if they didn't? You can't still take the guy because.
A couple years ago when they drafted Jameis, no question they needed the quarterback. You would have been okay with them drafting a middle linebacker if he was graded over Jameis. Seriously? Seriously?
Quarterback's a different story.
No. They needed the quarterback. You seriously would have drafted an inside linebacker over a quarterback, even though they needed a quarterback because he got a higher grade.
No.
Premise is a higher grade.
No, not all the time. If you need a quarterback, which they did.
Yes.
And going into 2015, and you think Winston's the man, you take him. You take him.
And that's what my point is right now. There isn't an inside linebacker alive that's more valuable than a pass rusher. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say this, Steve, and I don't think this is outrageous, Lee. I don't think you do either. You're never going to hear this from Arians. You're never going to hear this from Light, unless you get a couple of a couple of beers into both of them. But the only way I can look at this is that I think they had White as the 3rd highest-ranked player on the board after Bosa and Quinnen Williams.
Well, I think they had him. Their mind was made up before the draft, period. So the way I took it.
I don't know that they take him over Quinnen Williams. I don't know that.
Arians told him he was going to take him. If he's there, we're taking him.
The coach told him.
Well, I just said if Quinnen Williams was there.
Well, he didn't qualify.
That's a different story.
He did not qualify his statement to the kid.
You just said if
Arians said to White, if you're there,
I'm taking him. He didn't qualify it. So essentially, if Bosa and Quinnen Williams somehow or another would have wound up there at 5, he still would have taken Devin White.
I don't believe it. I don't believe that.
So you think Arians lied to the kid?
I think he did a Chucky.
Then this is the last thing I'm going to say about Devin White. Again, I hope he's in the Hall of Fame. I hope he has rings on his finger. Super Bowl rings, not wedding rings.
Your thing is about virtue of the position.
Damn right.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians like, first he said value position is BS. He didn't use the term BS. Arians said to me, the day when they introduced White, the value stuff was BS, but he didn't say BS. He didn't use the term. He said the word. If any inside linebacker, I don't care what his name is, can get to the quarterback the way a defensive end or defensive tackle would, they wouldn't have him at linebacker. He'd be already on the freaking line rushing the quarterback for two reasons. One, he can get more chances, number one. Number two, he'd make more money. And unless, you know, Bruce Simmons, well, we don't know how many times we're going to blitz. So you're going to blitz the guy 30 times a game? Seriously?
Sage, one thing that came up today with the defensive coaches.
Nicely done, Lee. Nicely done.
Oh, thank you.
One thing that came up with the defensive coaches is, first of all, Rapone, the safeties coach, said on third down, we're typically going to have seven defensive backs on the field. He also said our defense runs through the safety, play calls, checks, everything else. Matthew, he talked about the veteran safety that Arizona just had that who left, Bethea. And so
and Lynch used to do that for the Bucs.
Correct. Now, if veteran safety and the savvy and all that, if safety was running the defense, which is what the guy told us, he's in the he's coaches the defense. I can't emphasize that enough.
Now, you don't have a veteran
now,
safety.
Why didn't they go after Matthew in free agency and just spend whatever it took to get him since he is the guy? And two, what's going on here? They just drafted a guy who the coaches just sort of said is not the most important player in their defense. It's odd, Ira. It's odd. We want success for the guy. We want Bowles to adjust. Look, maybe Bowles looks at this personnel and says, we got to go back to 4-3. And you know, we can't press with these corners. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you another thing that's odd, and I hate to throw DeKemper even a crumb in this episode, but I'm going to. Guys, didn't Arian say you draft for need, you get fired? Didn't he say that?
He backtracked a day later.
Now wait a minute. He said it, and then on draft night, on Friday, they drafted three straight defensive backs. Are you going to tell me those are the three highest-ranked players they had, regardless of position, that were still available? I don't believe
Bunting,
that.
Maybe.
Neither do you.
Bunting, maybe. Maybe Bunting.
Absolutely, Ira. Come on. You know that they just follow their board. They just drafted by slot, and they
got
lucky.
And Steve's got a big smile on his face while he's saying that.
So that's a crumb in DeKemper's camp because they were going to draft. They thought the linebacker was the need, and then they drafted.
You know, Arians bounced back and forth between that, so I don't know what to believe there.
When did he backtrack the next day?
Well, the exact same conversation when he said that value BS, and he used the word, not the term BS. And he said when value meets need, or need meets value, or something.
Yeah, Ira, look, the kicker. The only reason they drafted him is because that's where he was on their board. Ira, that's the deal.
Like I said, he's the highest graded kicker he ever had. Oh no, you're talking about the fifth round, which I don't have an issue with. Believe it or not like Steve. We'll get to that in a second. And what hacked me off more about the draft, because I was pretty much resigned to the fact they were going to draft White. So I had braced myself. I had steeled myself that they were going to draft Devin White. Still hacked me off, but I wasn't as hacked off as I was 2 or 3 weeks ago. To use your term, falling out of a seat. When it came to the third round, you know, Friday night, third round pick. You know, okay, the best draft in maybe a decade for defensive linemen. You thumb your nose at it. I don't think that's intelligent anyway, but they did it. What are you going to do? All right, well, you still need a running back. Here's the third round. Only one or two running backs have gone off the board by that time. Man, a lot of good running backs. Here we go.
Last few years, a bunch of good running backs have been found in the third round. A bunch of them.
And I'm thinking, all right, here we go. Darrell Henderson. Is it Darrell? Darrell?
Yep.
Henderson from Miami. Memphis.
Yep.
He's on the board.
Here he comes.
And they freaking trade down with Rams. Okay, this is bad. They're trading down. Still, there hasn't been a real run on running backs yet. The very spot they vacated with the Rams, what do the Rams do? They get Henderson. And at that point, I literally threw my arms up in the air, and I said to myself, I'm done.
I'm done in two days over there.
I'm done. I have no clue what they are doing. I have no idea what they're doing. This draft has no logic whatsoever.
What killed me about that, Ira, and I agree with Lee there. You know, Jason, look, I still believe, no doubt, Bruce Arians ran this draft. It's his draft, his call. Look, Jason Light drafted running backs the last 2 years. They didn't work out. You don't draft one this year.
And Bowles was his sidekick on draft night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just think of it that way. Okay, we drafted a running back. Neither has worked out. And now we're not going to draft one. How is that building toward this running game you desperately need? And they didn't touch it in free agency and all that. But I had to calm myself a little bit, take some deep breaths, put my feet up, relax a little bit. And I waited for a while, but I'm like, all right, I have to listen to Les Snead, his post-draft interview. He's the Rams GM on Sirius because he's going to talk about that third round trade up or that deal. And there's Snead. Oh, he is just so excited that they were able to get the guy, Sean McVay, the guy everybody is trying to clone in this coaching universe. They were able to get Henderson with that deal for the Bucks, talking about how he can play slot receiver and his hands are so good and he's so explosive.
So he was the target.
Henderson yeah, well, they the traded target. Up and drafted him. So, yeah, there's your answer. He was the target.
Yeah.
And which we don't need to be brain surgeons to figure out, okay, they traded two picks up with the Bucks. Let's get our guy. That was their guy. And here we are. We didn't get a running back. Doesn't mean the Rams made the right move, but, man, that is just a kick in the groin when you look at how the Rams have built this team so successfully.
That's what I was going to add to Steve. You think the Rams have an idea what they're doing? Hell yeah. Dude, in the last 10 years, does it look like the Bucks have an idea what they're doing? Hell no.
All right.
You're talking about the best team, the reigning NFC champions.
Thank you.
With a banged up Gurley, and now a need for Henderson. Boom.
Like the Bucks don't have a need. Gurley would be the shining star of the running backs, even with an arthritic knee.
And Steve, I don't want this podcast to go by us without me at least mentioning this, Lee. You know it sticks in my craw, not claw.
Not craw.
What is the position that Bruce Arians, and I'm not calling him BA. I'm not doing it. I'm calling him Bruce Arians. You don't like it, Bruce? Tough. Tell me to my face that you want to be called BA. What did Bruce Arians say? The first target area.
Offensive line.
We need upgrades on the offensive line. Steve, they didn't draft anybody. And in free agency, they got Earl Watford. What am I missing here?
At second round, in the opposite next to you, second round, I thought, okay, they're going to get Cody Ford. And he went right before the Bucks. I thought they were going to get Cody Ford.
There was a run, I think, on
big time.
Then. Yeah.
Big time.
Well, I almost understand that more than than some of the other things that they did and didn't do.
Why? You think they'll pick people up?
Well, you can't fill
cuts.
You can't fill every position.
Can't fill every position.
I think corner was more important than O-line. Running back was more important than O-line.
I didn't expect three straight DBs. I didn't expect that.
I don't think anybody did. You could have won some money with a bet like that.
Three straight DBs, I didn't expect that.
All right, I got an important question for you, Ira. Ran a poll today. Today's Wednesday when we're recording this on Joe Bucks Fan. I didn't run this after the draft because I didn't want the emotional response.
How did you word the poll?
I wanted the more measured response after everybody got over their emotions, positive, negative, looked at the picks, looked around the league. So here we go. The question was, for fans, now that you've had time to breathe and evaluate, grade the Bucks 2019 draft class. Now, the number one answer, 37% of fans, C. C grade. That's the number one answer. If you combine C, D, and F.
Oh.
Okay. C, D, and F, Ira, 60% of Buck fans, a little bit more, 61% or so, C, D, or F grade. Now, C, when it comes to a draft, means you don't feel that good about it. It's not like a dumb kid in school who gets straight Fs and gets a C, he's happy. We're talking about an NFL draft. So.
I think it's ominous, Lee, because I'll tell you why. Because when we do these polls about how many games are the Bucks going to win, you know what might win? 9. I mean, these are Buck fans. They tend to be optimistic.
Yeah.
And it's skewed optimistically. And because A and B are positive, and I'm not counting C, neither are you.
Yeah.
That's a little ominous, Lee.
Well, I wrote this, I think, Monday or Tuesday on JoeBucksFan.com that, you know, just the feedback I personally have received from Bucks fans, it's like universally depressed.
I think it's ominous, Lee, because you're dealing with a specific clientele here, Buck Nation.
Hopeful.
Hope reigns supreme in the NFL, as it should. 5 new freaking playoff teams every year.
Except this
for
one.
For 12 years in a row or whatever
Except
it is.
Except this one.
60% are going with C, D, or F. Only 40% positive rating. Lee, that's got to be concerning.
It is. Well, just the feedback, personal feedback I've gotten, whether it be emails, texts, phone calls from Bucks fans, universally people are depressed about this. And that's only the
you
people.
You think a lot of it is centered on the first round or beyond, past Devin White?
Past, because there are people
I think it's past.
There are some people that like the Devin White pick, but overall they think that Jason Light splashed himself when he went to the bathroom. They just think it's awful.
I think it's a reflection of round two and beyond, Steve. That's my opinion.
Well, look, we did before the draft when it seemed very likely Devin White would be the pick. We asked fans, and it was split pretty much down the middle. You know, 50% wanted Devin White, 50% didn't. Now, it's hard to say. Maybe a lot of those fans didn't believe Josh Allen would be available.
Right.
It's unknown. Maybe right. Lee swayed his share of fans winning those arguments with you. We don't know.
Whoa, did you say winning? Whoa. We don't need to put a value on it.
What's that, winning?
I tried to slip that past you. It didn't work. Sage is
engaged in a conversation.
Sage is engaged. Yeah. To me, yes, it's about after the first round. No one would have complained, or I think there wouldn't be negativity surrounding Devin White and other, you know, insert who, whatever. But
now, if they picked the guy that, you know, if they would have picked the guy that the Raiders picked at four and had he fallen to five and they picked him, we would understand it. Mm-hmm. We would understand.
Or Light would have pulled a Dave Gettleman.
And the kicker thing, I can't get past the kicker thing.
Steve, you can't get past it.
I'm just in stunned disbelief that these guys didn't think they could find a kicker on the market like every other team does. Look at Graham Gano in Carolina.
Don't you know?
He was a reject. I mean, most of these kickers around have. It just drives me bananas. You know,
well,
you can use that.
Well, look what the Chiefs did after Santos got hurt. They found this guy Butker or something. The guy's very good.
Wasn't there a guy in Chicago or San Diego? He went to FIU. He was right in the Bucks' backyard.
Yeah, he went to Cleveland. He went to Cleveland, and he had a tremendously successful season.
Yeah, he's in the Bucks' backyard.
Look at the kickers drafted last year. Maybe I'll bring out that data for next podcast. Look at the kickers drafted last year. There's a lesson in there, Ira. The Vikings drafted a kicker early last year, tried to fix their woes. You know what? They gave up on the guy in week two. Missed a kick. They freaked out. See you later.
Mike Zimmer's no nonsense. He was lights out
for Chucky after that. Now, how much rope you think they're going to give a rookie kicker here this year? Two games.
He's going to win the job. You know that.
You don't know that. I don't know.
So, I'll just say this, and I don't disagree with anything Steve's saying.
Wait. Can you imagine him not winning the job?
Yes.
Lee.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Can you imagine?
Absolutely.
Yes, I can imagine.
You mean getting cut before the opener?
Just not winning the job, period.
If he's not better, they're not going to keep him.
Yeah, I will. Believe it or not, I'm going to be positive here. Believe it or not. And it's about this draft. I don't know if it's positive, but it's a positive thinking. The outrage. It's like, come on. It's a fifth-round pick. It's a throwaway pick. And with Buck's history, and I'll give the guy credit.
It's because of Buck history.
It's laughable. I get that the same guy who drafted a second-round picker didn't learn from his past. It's amusing. It's humorous. That I get. I completely get that. I don't get the outrage. And I'm going to give the guy, because it's a fifth-round pick. Come on. It's a throwaway pick. And the reason why I say it's a throwaway pick, I'll give the guy credit. Greg Allman did research this century. This century, what the Bucks have done on a third-day draft, you could wipe your rear end with it. I mean, it's horrible. The Bucks, and this was Greg Allman's story on The Athletic, the Bucks have had better luck with undrafted free agents than they have with third-day draft picks. In this century, since 2001, I think, they have not re-signed a third-day draft pick to a second contract.
That spans a lot of general managers.
A lot of general managers.
McKay was here in 2001.
And a hell of a lot of players.
And then you go to Bruce Allen, and then you go to Dominic, and then you go to Light.
And this whole organization. Think about all the players drafted on the third day. None of them had gotten a second contract. But undrafted free agents did. Think about that, Ira. All those third-day draft picks, none of them got a second
contract.
Spanning
four general managers, Lee.
Yeah.
Four.
So that's why I don't get worked up over a fifth-round pick over a kicker, though I'd agree with Steve. And this kind of reinforces me. The Bucks have been so bad at drafting in the past few years, like the third-day draft. Just do a George Allen. Just start trading picks straight up in the draft. Make sure you get a couple of first-round picks. So Steve said, just take that fifth-round pick, instead of drafting a kicker, trade up in the draft to get a running back. And I agree with that.
All I want is two or three good players out of a draft. That's all I ask for.
I don't believe any team has what's called a throwaway pick unless it's a late, really late seventh rounder. Use those picks to trade up or be a good team.
You said you wanted two good players each draft, right?
Two or three good players.
Yeah. Bill Polian last week before the draft, he said each draft you have to get two starters that at worst are borderline Pro Bowl players and two other starters that are starters for like 4 or 5 years, may not be Pro Bowlers.
Or special team contributors.
Well, he goes, if you don't get that every year, you're going to be hurt and you're going to be losing.
You know, Jason Light, after the draft, when he was asked, and probably as part of the research for the story you were referencing, he was asked about, you know, all the success of the undrafted guys versus the drafted guys. And Light, you know, in a candid moment said, well, yeah, I probably should have drafted those guys in the sixth or seventh round instead of letting them be undrafted. And that's the part of the luck of the NFL. But it tells you that those aren't throwaway picks because you know what? You could have drafted Cameron Brait with a seventh rounder. You could have drafted Adam Humphries. You could have drafted, pick a name. You could have drafted them. So you just got to do better. Light came in here and took 2 fifth-round picks in his first year on the offensive line, and they got a lot out of Kevin Pamphile, who's still in the league as a fifth-round pick. You know, look at Raheem Morris. Cody Grimm took to the podium today, Ira. Seventh-round pick. In 2010, they played 10 rookies that year. 10.
Very functional.
You know, Dakota Watson, I think, is still in the league.
Still in the league.
And those are seventh-round picks. Sammy Strouder was part of that team and other guys. You got to do better.
He brought up Dakota Watson. Watson played for John Lynch in San Francisco. I understand John Lynch is in a power struggle now.
He denies it, but the story's out there that he's not getting along with the head coach. I hope that's not true.
This is rather interesting. I won't say who, but a suit in this building years ago told me a couple things about Kyle Shanahan. Weren't very complimentary. It had nothing to do with his coaching, just basically he's an ass. It was more detailed than that. Now, I won't go into it because it was confidential information. But when I read this story, and I immediately thought of this guy's conversation. This was like 4 years ago. I was told this about Kyle Shanahan. And essentially, Kyle Shanahan in NFL league circles isn't the most popular guy.
I get you.
So then when I read this, there's all of a sudden power struggle, and Shanahan's not getting a little Lynch. Like, this is all I remember.
Steve, there's one angle that we didn't get DeKemper to weigh in the other day, and Make it briefly, but I'll throw it out there. Steve made a point that the Buck competitors in this rugged NFC South kind of focused their premium picks on the trenches.
Imagine that.
And the Bucks did not.
Imagine
that. What do you think of that, DeKemper?
Well, I think that, well, let's put it this way. Marty Herney, Dimitroff, and who am I missing? What's his face, New Orleans? They have a proven track record. They kind of know what they're doing.
English. Maybe Jeff.
No, the general manager of the Saints.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about, but the guy that kind of runs the draft is the guy.
Mickey
that used
Loomis?
To...
Mickey Loomis.
Well,
Mickey
no. Loomis is the GM, but I'm thinking of the guy that used to be at the Dolphins.
I know you're talking about.
He's done a nice job in New Orleans.
Well, I'll just give the GM credit because he oversees it. Mickey Loomis.
Loomis is the GM.
Loomis, Marty Herney, Thomas Dimitroff. They have a resume and a track record. They know what they're doing. And the fact that they're drafting trench warfare, gee, what a shock. Imagine that. Yet the Bucs, one of the best defensive line drafts in years. Nope, can't do it. Last 2 years. Draft was loaded with running backs. Nah. The only guys we want are guys that can pass an illiteracy test.
Steve, I can't read. Steve, I got them revved up again, Steve. I didn't mean to do it, Steve.
Just think about that. There were teams trading up in the first round to get defensive linemen. Bucks? No. We can't have that.
And we got to mention Marty Herney, former sports writer.
Are you going to call him or what?
Former sports writer.
He owes you. The man
he owes
me. You.
When he did his radio show, I went on 4 times a year.
You know, I think it might be a good habit the Bucks might want to learn. If a draft is really strong in a certain position, you might want to draft someone in the first or second round. Just maybe.
Lee's got a way of screwing up his face when he says these things. I wish the fans could see it.
Scowling?
They were calling for the Lee cam. Oh, that was Dr. Wink who was calling for
Come on.
Cam.
Lunch is calling me over right. Here.
Now, let me wrap up on this. Because I'm
getting lightheaded with no food? Is that it?
As long as Lee brought up the John Lynch, Shanahan thing, I was going to save that for next podcast, but we'll knock it out here now.
And, of course, denials on all sides. Of course.
Is there a lesson to be learned there, Ira? Because John Lynch went in all-powerful. The blessing of DeBartolo, who's still involved, and York's his nephew, and he went in there with a big contract. Didn't Lynch get like a 6-year contract or something like that?
John Elway was pimping him up.
With no managerial experience.
Exactly. Now, is the lesson for Bucks fans, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that As soon as you don't win, all that stuff flies out the window. And could this be something that we learn from going, if the Bucks don't win this year, all this Arian stuff is all of a sudden up in hot air with ownership and the coach and the relationship with the GM? How should we look at that?
It's a strange dynamic in this respect. Never very far from Arian's thoughts are, what's going to happen to Byron Leftwich in 2 or 3 years?
Oh, yeah.
Got a Goodwin in 2 or 3 years. Maybe even Todd Bowles getting another shot. He's thinking about that all the time. It's right on his mind. And, Lee, the facts are the facts. If the Bucks don't win, those guys aren't going to get a shot.
Bingo.
So that's the good news from a Buck perspective. You got to win. But it also causes me a little bit of discomfort about Arians delegating too much authority. That's something that's going to be a big theme the whole offseason for me.
Well, I'm
looking for signs that's the case.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
You have valid concerns. You know what it's starting to remind me of? I start to get nauseous thinking about this. This, in a certain way, this weird draft. Now, that's about as most polite as I can be describing this. This weird draft and this misdirection we've heard today from the defensive coaches. Don't you get a sense? This is sort of like when Lovie Smith came in with all these cockamamie ideas, and they all, next thing you know, the Bucks are drafting Winston first overall. Do you get a weird sense about like flashbacks to Lovie? You know, oh, Josh McCown could lead us to the playoffs, and Ghost Johnson will be the next.
David, it's hard to argue at Lee's point. There was a lot of misdirection thrown out there today by Arian's coaching staff. The three of us are trying to, read the tea leaves and trying to figure it out. But, for example, Steve said the right thing. If the safety coach is saying our primary surprise blitzer has to be from, the nickelback, and all we're hearing from Arians and Light is these inside linebackers are going to blitz their heads off. Steve, we're trying to figure out, the communication issues that are going on.
Well, I understand the concept of sending six guys at the quarterback, so there's still plenty of room for both to blitz.
You see Patrick Peterson in the back there that's going to handle Julio Jones by himself?
That's very true. That's very true. I had this on a couple of emails. I might have put this on Twitter. But when I was watching the Bucks draft, how they first round, they didn't get that defensive lineman / pass rusher. Second round, they didn't do it. Third round, passed on Henderson, the running back, or any running back. To me, it was like a couple weeks ago when I was watching that fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. It was a tragedy, and you're watching this unfold, and you're hoping your eyes are lying, but your eyes are not lying.
You're comparing the Buck roster to a fire that they can't get under control?
No, I'm comparing the future of this franchise that it was like the future of this franchise is in a bonfire, and it wasn't a damn thing I could do to stop it.
Well, we can't leave on that note.
You know what? To sort of answer Lee's question, which was for you, I'm not getting any Lovie-ish vibe here from this staff. I think they really will adjust to what they got. But there might be a lot of misdirection because they don't really know. Look how many rookies they're going to rely on. So you don't really know until you see them. Maybe they will be very flexible based on when they see these guys on the field.
Look
who they're relying on, Ira. You got Devin White. You've got all these three guys that they just drafted in the secondary. And I'll throw on top of that Hargraves, who's a bit of an unknown. Carlton Davis, who's a rookie. MJ Stewart, we all went through the Stewart thing. That's like 6-7 guys that they really don't know what they have who are going to be key competitors.
McCoy, who knows?
Yeah, key points here. And maybe Bo Allen isn't the best fit for a 3-4. Yeah, I don't know, Ira.
Are you talking about Vita Vea's defensive end today? A little bit?
He implied it.
Didn't know Lee, where he's going to play him.
Lee, what's the big takeaway of today's podcast? Isbitz likes the Bucks to go over 6.5. We get out of here, Steve.
I would take 7 right now. Yeah, put your money down. 7 wins.